Thank you. Our last case this morning is case A24-0390, Laura Kassab versus Daniel Jasso. We'll only have a counsel for the appellant, and so you'll have 15 minutes for your argument with no rebuttal. Whenever you're ready, counsel, just tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
I'm ready, Your Honors. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Michelle Olson, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Jasso. We are asking the court to reverse the granting of a harassment restraining order after hearing. We believe that the court, based on Minnesota case law, has abused its discretion in this matter. Normally, the court looks at these cases under an abuse of discretion. However, interpretation of the statute is on de novo review. In this instance, we believe that it is a de novo review in that the court misinterpreted the statute. However, also that the court abused its discretion in the findings that were made. So in either standard, the court has failed. Specifically, the basic requirements that need to be found is that there has to be an incident of physical or sexual assault. In this case, none of the singular incident requirements are met under the statute. However, it was basically the repeated incidents of the repeated incidents of intrusive or unwanted acts, gestures that have a substantial adverse effect. In looking in that situation, this is somewhat of a two-part element. First, that the actions themselves would be inappropriate either by an objective basis, that the behaviors themselves are inappropriate in some way, or on a subjective standard with my client intending to have caused the harassment. And then in the second regards, that the basically the actions themselves.
Intent is a separate issue, right? I mean, it's either repeated incidents of intrusive or unwanted acts, words, or gestures that have a substantial adverse effect or are intended, right? I mean, if there's grounds to determine that there were repeated incidents of intrusive or unwanted acts, words, or gestures that had a substantial adverse effect, and the district court didn't abuse its discretion in making that determination, aren't we done?
I agree, Your Honor. It's an either or option. It's a two-pronged process. First, you look at the incidents themselves and determine whether or not the incidents themselves would be objectively inappropriate under an objective, reasonable person standard, or you have this subjective that the person felt they were inappropriate by themselves. They're not objectively there, but my client would have had the intent then to harass. So I believe we are saying the same thing. But just to clarify, I'm saying that it could be in either of those categories, but it has to be in one to match. And then on the second prong, even if those incidents themselves were not, were either objectively harmful or inappropriate or on the subjective, then it also requires, though, that these actions had a substantial adverse effect. So even if you met prong one, if you don't meet prong two, then the harassment restraining order still would not survive. In this instance, we don't believe it either meets prong one or prong two on either of the two standards of prong one. First, regarding the objective unreasonable conduct, the conduct that was listed in the harassment restraining order by the court was normal everyday contact. Specifically, that my client, Mr. Jasso, visited petitioner's employer while petitioner was working 15 times in the last 6 months. Not that he engaged with any contact or had any contact with petitioner, but just came to the employer.
We don't look at these in isolation, though, right? I mean, I understand the context that you argue that this is Cub Foods we're talking about, and visiting Cub Foods 15 times over 6 months is not unusual. If there's not a conversation or an inappropriate behavior that accompanies it, but it's that plus the four separate social media platforms, plus texts, plus contacting mutual friends, right? We have to consider all of that.
I think you have to look at each of them by themselves to see if they are objectively unreasonable and then look at them in a totality. Because by itself, If that were to go away, do the other instances also equate to it? Because again, these are multiple incidents, but by themselves they don't meet it, and even in a grouping, they don't mean it or meet the standard. The fact that Mr. Jasso contacted petitioner on social media by itself is not inappropriate. It is not inappropriate. And his comments, if they had even said anything like there was swearing or there was name calling, under the First Amendment would be perfectly acceptable as long as there were no threats to her person, which there was no evidence of, and the court didn't find evidence of that, just that there was mere contact with petitioner through social media itself. That coupled with coming to Cub Foods isn't, again, objectively unreasonable. This isn't a
Why do you
situation.
think Ms. Kosab was asking security to escort her to her car at the end of her shift?
Your Honor, that would be speculative. She didn't fully explain that
Well, wouldn't a
she
reasonable interpretation be indicated that he had visited her so many times, always right before the shift closed, that she was concerned for her safety, security, and privacy? I mean, it seems to
based
me that's a logical explanation of why she was asking for an escort.
I think that would be ignoring her testimony where she agreed that he would that Cub Foods is a popular grocery store and that everybody
Well, I'm
shops
sure it
there.
is, but a lot of people when they work at Cub don't find it necessary to have an escort at the end of their shift.
I
Even
think
though
having
Cub is
a
very popular and there's lots of people there. Apparently, she was afraid of one person in particular, and that's your client. How is that unreasonable?
Because
Either under either un either under the objective standard or her subjective interpretation. How is this anything but reasonable, an action on her part, which explains why a harassment order needed to be granted?
it, Your Honor, on the objective standard, it wouldn't meet it. The objective standard isn't based on her feeling or her interpretation, which is not what the law says. It's based on an objective, reasonable person. If a person comes to a grocery store and has no interaction with you, has not done anything, has not been asked to leave or anything like that, from a reasonable person, the fact that she seems afraid is her own subjective feeling, but that is not a feeling
But that's not the
to.
entirety of the testimony, right? I mean, because we can set aside the subjective testimony, which she said, I'd have people walk me to my car at night because I didn't know if he was still in the parking lot or if he wanted to talk to me. I was just kind of scared and fearful. That we could agree is subjective. But then she says he never came up to me in the grocery store, but I did see his appearance, and then he would usually stop and then notice that I was working on the floor because I work in the produce department. That coupled with the social media contacts, coupled with the contacting the friend, coupled with the text messages, why isn't that enough under the objective standard? Why is it an abuse of discretion?
So on from what she said her fear was, it wasn't a fear of security, it wasn't a fear of safety. She said, I was afraid he was going to talk to me. Saying someone's going to talk to you is not saying that he is doing anything with your privacy. She had never actually articulated to the court that her fear was based on some secure an substantial fear of her safety, her privacy, or security. She just didn't want to talk to him.
Well,
And
she said,
she did make that clear.
I didn't know if he was still in the parking lot or if he wanted to talk to me.
But the fear that she articulates only is that she was concerned about communication with him. She never articulates a physical. The fact that he'd be in the parking lot, that doesn't in and of itself concern with a security, safety, or privacy risk. That is a speculation and an assumption that was made. The fact that she said she noted that he noticed her actually couples with Mr. Jasso, who didn't dispute that, said, I would notice I saw her, and then I would steer clear of her. His own actions, which aren't ever disputed that he did that, she doesn't disagree that he actually didn't make any contact with her. And if you go into what the other reasons, when you look at them together, which is these messages, She said she was upset with him for not breaking up with her in a way that she felt was comfortable. So when you actually look in the context of what the messages were regarding, he would be saying things like, "I'm sorry. I would like to meet up so we could discuss this breakup." Those are the comments he made. He never said that he didn't like her. And instead of saying to him, "I don't want any further contact with you," she would ignore him. The
She
fact that she
initially said goodbye when he broke her up with her over text message, right? After a 2 month relationship. And then the contact continued for a year after that. And we're supposed to consider, well, the party's relationship history can provide context for the district court when deciding whether the contact conduct was objectively unreasonable. So she says goodbye after 2 months, and instead of him stopping, he continues on for this much longer period of time. Why isn't that objectively unreasonable in the context, or why was it an abuse of discretion for the district court to conclude that's objectively unreasonable?
because the court never determined what actions he specifically did that was objectively unreasonable under the context of the situation. I agree that this was a 2 month breakup. However, her communications with him and her responses to him was that she was upset with him over this breakup. He then is trying to clear the air and resolve the issue. And the fact that she said goodbye isn't, "I never want to talk to you again. I'm ignoring you. Leave me alone." That doesn't give a clear indicator. And when we have those situations, it is not on Mr. Jasso to presume her intent. If it isn't clearly given to her, then, or given by her, then he then trying to reach out or communicate with her isn't objectively unreasonable under that standard. Now, if she had said, "Don't contact me anymore," that is actually a clearer distinction, a distinction in which the court could say, "Look, you had this information subjectively. Your
So,
conduct showed more of an intent."
Judge Larkin, I'm just wondering, as I understand it's a 2 month relationship, he ends it, and then he's making all these efforts to contact her directly through third parties, showing up at work, and she ignores him. How is that any different than saying, "Don't contact me"? I mean, why wasn't your client getting the hint and then just leaving her alone?
I'll be honest, I can't tell you why he didn't get the hint. What I can say is this: this seems to be something of throughout the year, there's an implication that he's doing this a lot. It's not. There aren't that many messages actually there. He reached out a couple of times on each platform because those were the platforms he used in initial contact with her, and then with the third parties, and I believe he's testified to this, he just was making sure she was okay, seeing if something happened. This isn't a situation where he was harassing in a sense of saying, "Well, make sure she communicates with me," or anything like that. He wasn't directing these third parties to do much else.
Well,
And
he
again,
didn't, he testified it was 15 times. I mean, the 15 times finding came that the district court made came from his testimony, 15 visits in total to Cub. So, I mean, it wasn't just a couple times, you know, and it was that plus the text, plus the social media. It seems like that we need to conclude that her silence in response to him was her consent to wanted that, that in order to conclude that this was not unwanted contact, it was welcomed contact, then that the fact that she didn't say more than goodbye was her consenting to it. Is that what you're arguing?
a little bit different, Your Honor. I disagree that it would be welcome contact. There isn't a requirement that it be welcome. It can be neutral contact. It's just it can't be unwelcome. It can't be something that he would know is either inappropriate. And again, visiting a grocery store and going grocery shopping, which is what he did, and no one's disputing that's what he did, 15 times in 6 months is pretty normal. That isn't an abnormal amount. The fact that he made contact with her on four separate platforms for approximately a year, the court never actually says how many times. If he contacted her four times throughout the year, once on each platform, which I'm not saying are the facts, that's the issue. We don't know what it is. And the court never made a conclusion that the amount was inappropriate, that what was said was inappropriate, or anything that actually contacts that. And saying that he sent numerous messages via text inquiring about the petitioner through mutual friends, again, him contacting and asking things about from the third party, asking how she was doing, is not an objectively inappropriate conduct. And if he doesn't know that she doesn't want the contact, he can't say that it's unwelcome because he actually doesn't know that. It doesn't have to be a positive that she wants it or she's consenting that
Counsel,
this is good.
if he didn't know that she didn't want the contact, why did he never have contact with her during those visits to Cup?
I see my time has ended. May I finish?
Please answer Judge Larkin's question.
Thank you. I think the fact that it was an awkward situation. He didn't know how to respond to her, but he certainly wasn't trying to harass her. I think the fact that he didn't do that actually shows that his intent wasn't to harass her. It was trying to deal with the situation and resolve a breakup more amicably.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. The matter is submitted. That
Thank you.
being our last oral argument of the day, we are adjourned.